Blog Talk Radio.
General quarters. Security condition 3.
GQ. Security 3, sir. General quarters 3. Intruder alert. GQ 3. Intruder alert.
Ah, yes, my hep cats, hep kittens, swingers, jivers, and general groovy people. This is Madam Perry welcoming you once again to Madam Perry's Salon. I am delighted and thrilled once again because you have welcomed me into your lives and your homes and your electronic devices to bring you the most fascinating people in the world. And somehow they're all coming here to the genius bottle that is Madam Perry Salon. Also, if you're listening now on Blog Talk Radio, please click the follow button and follow the show. Or if you listen on iTunes or Stitcher, please subscribe there. It doesn't cost anything, but it does help me to get good sponsors, and good sponsors help me stay alive here so I can keep bringing you more fantastic people. If you listened last night, my phone and my email and my social media have not stopped. My guest was Kenneth W. Kane. He's an author, and now he's got a lot of books out. And we didn't even get to scratch the surface with him, but he's going to come back. He's to tell you one thing, he grows actual live coral reefs and sells them. I may not have used the right vernacular there, but I think that's a pretty cool thing, so we're going to have him talk about that soon. But he's got a new book coming out with Crystal Lake Publishing, which you may know is also the home of Jasper Bark, Mark Gunnels, and it's headed up by Joe Meinhardt, who's in South Africa, who is just a fantastic powerhouse of a publisher of some all dark humor. I never read horror until he started sending his authors to me to have on the show. And yet, as Jasper Bark says, Jasper says, we're a marvelously well-behaved group. And they are. They're some of the most fun and wonderful people I've ever met. Also, as I said, recently we had and I want you to get the book if you haven't yet, by Rudy Sarzo, Off the Rails, My Life Touring with Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne. About the time when he was touring with Ozzy, he left Quiet Riot for them and then went back afterwards. That's when his friend Randy Rose, the great guitar player, died in a small plane crash then. And I think Randy's birthday just passed recently. And so there's been a lot about him in the news or social media you may have seen. So get that book by Rudy Sarzo. He's also a very active person in animal rights, so he and his wife both. That's pretty cool. Soon we're going to have Adrian Belew, who's on tour. Adrian Belew, you may know from Adrian Belew and the Bears, King Crimson. He's one of the King Crimson lineups. Also played with David Bowie a lot. He does the guitar work on Sway with David Bowie, but he's back on tour again. And as I told his press people when I called to book him on the show, or I emailed, I said, when my husband courted me, he courted me with dinners he made himself, laughter, and taking me to Adrian Belew concerts. And so they go, okay, that's it. That's all we need. But we've also got Allison Arngram coming soon from Little House on the Prairie. She's also a stand-up comic and actress. And we'll talk about her book, Confessions of a Prairie Bitch. Fascinating woman. But tonight, if you listened last night when we had Kenneth Kane on, you know that another one of our regulars, filmmaker and musician Vincent Levy Bryant, called. And, Vincent's always fun. And also, tonight's guest called in to say hello, which is, I love it. I love for everyone to support each other on the show, every guest. And it was Julian Acosta. He's a musician in Texas, rocker. Let me tell you, this guy's star, if you haven't heard of him yet, you're in the minority, because this guy's star is rising fast. And actually, I think he's going to come on into the genie bottle now. Julian Acosta, come on into Madam Perry's salon.
Hey.
How you
thank
doing?
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, my God. You know, yesterday I had a little bit of a taste and I couldn't get enough. And I just want to say you are one of the realest ladies I've ever met, and it's nothing but a sure pleasure. I'm staring at the capital of Texas right now and looking at you, and I'm so happy to be here.
Well, thank you. I am thrilled to have you here, and I'm so glad you were on last night. And that show, you know, I even put that up, posted it up on Facebook and saying, if you are alone and bored or depressed or drinking alone, put this show on. You'll have friends with you. Play, download this show, because it was just an absolute, it was just a party.
It was a riot.
Now we're back to that riot thing again. It was like a lively exchange of energy, of good energy, wasn't it?
Yes, ma'am. It was nothing but positivity and sheer respect.
Now you sound like you're on the road right now, are you?
I am trying to park right now as we speak. I do have you on speakerphone. And I am like 5 seconds from parking, but you have my ultimate attention, and I think it's what better way than to have it than such a casual setting to where we're just, you know, talking. But I'm downtown Austin. I'm staring at the Capitol, and it's a beautiful day here, and I'm about to park in 5 seconds.
So this is real. This is real stuff. This is getting it live. I want to give a hello and shout out to a couple of good friends of mine out there in Austin. One is Coco Electric. Coco Electric, she is the, I think she's with Jiggle Watts Burlesque, and she also teaches. She's quite a fascinating and very intelligent lady. And as she was, I think a few years ago, she was the reigning Miss Burlesque, or the Burlesque Queen of the United States. And also,
wow.
My friend Cheetah Chrome lives out there in Austin. Cheetah Chrome, I think he plays sometimes at the Saxon Pub, and he just got back from the tour in Japan. Before your time, he played with the... Yeah, well, but you may not know Cheetah Chrome. Back in the day, in fact, there was even a... He was in a band called the Dead Boys. And then he was also in a band called Rocket from the Tomb. It was a punk band. And there was a documentary. He played a lot in New York at CBGB's. And there was a documentary made about three bands, Blondie, the Ramones, and and the Dead Boys. And the guy that plays Ron Weasley in the Harry Potter, he played Cheetah Chrome in the film.
Oh, okay.
So,
wow. I am so surprised. Actually, you know what? I'm not surprised. I am not surprised by the amount of people that you are connected with and that you know, because, like I said it a second ago, you just the taste of yesterday and being able to talk to you on the phone and just talking a little bit. You know, we just kind of talked a little bit before this, and you again are a phenomenal person. I can just tell off of the tone of your voice, and the connection is there, and I think that's the important part, and I think that's the kind of stuff that America needs to tune into, is that connection of person to person, without the prejudice of what they're like. Almost kind of going into something where you're blind. I almost feel like people should have a taste of being blind for like at least a day, so they kind of learn that lesson of going in and feeling off of the vibe, and instead of you know of other educational models that I think have been a complete failure.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's some things you can put down on paper, but it's not the same as the real thing with people. And as I said, I've had so many people from different walks of life and different every aspect whatsoever, and yet I think when they come together with, especially with artists, you share art or you share ideas or just break down and be real, you're right. Something like, I mean, whoa. I think this is your band. I'm sorry. That's my assistant playing your CD.
Okay. Nice. Very nice.
Hey, if you I want you to. Okay, that was your teaser of Cinnamon, the newest song by Julian Acosta. And hey, if we're gonna have an interruption, that's a cool one. That's a good one. So that's a little
you
teaser
know,
for later. But,
yeah, that's an interesting song. Cinnamon. Do we want to talk about that? What do we want to talk about first? I feel like we're going to have a great conversation here, and I feel so positive about it. You want to talk music? Okay.
Let's talk about music. But later on, your friend Matt Middleton's going to call in, isn't he? And talk about Chicago later?
I would love if Matt Middleton called in right now. I would love if Matt Middleton called in. I don't know if he will. I told him to. I said, hey, call in. But, I don't know his schedule. It'd be awesome if he did. It'd be great if Matt showed up.
I broke it down to him. I've just gotten invited. He's gotten called down on the air. So, all right, so let's talk about Cinnamon. Talk to me about that. Is it a new?
Well, Cinnamon.
What do people do now? They don't release a single. They drop a song or whatever now. So are you getting a lot of airplay?
You know, we introduced the idea of Cinnamon to the public last fall, and the whole thing was great, and it was awesome. And then I started growing with my team, and you know, the vibe of the song is so. You know, when you look in music, it's such a seasonal thing too, because. This song, I think, has got a very warm vibe to it and very good tones that are warm. And so we decided to call that a soft release and kind of like a teaser. And right now I'm working on the music video behind it. And we will be releasing it and distributing officially the song Cinnamon. And the song Cinnamon, here's the brass tacks to it. You know,
I don't mean to interrupt your groove, but I got to tell you, speaking of vibe, guess who's here? Vincent Levy Bryant. Vincent Levy Bryant.
Man,
he was here last night. He's taking some time away from his new friend, Jennifer Garner, and to hang out with us. So, Vincent,
no, I'm not.
Hey.
Oh, man.
I am at the Atlanta International Film Festival at Ponce de Leon at the Plaza Theater. And let me tell you, I'm outside in the lobby doing this podcast with you guys, and I'm so glad I'm doing this. And music. Let's talk music.
You're missing a hot date with Jennifer Garner to talk to us, man.
No, dude, I'm not. I am not on a date with Jennifer Garner. You guys need to cut that out. First of all, I have daughters her age, okay? First of all. And I'm not that kind of dude, okay? I like my women my age or older, okay?
Okay.
So if they're going to outrun me, it's not going to be too bad. It's not going to be that bad, okay? All right. Anyway, now, but once again, Jennifer is a sweetheart. She's a sweetheart, and Matt, what's his name? Ben. Ben is a lucky guy. That's all I got to say. Anyway, now, back to you guys. Okay.
That's right. Yeah. She's married. That's right.
That's right.
So we're talking. Cinnamon. Cinnamon. The new song by
right.
Julian Acosta.
There you go. Cinnamon.
So
I don't
Cinnamon.
Know.
Let me give you the real news and the real facts. No fake news here. And so the whole principle behind Cinnamon was that idea and the concept of when you first fall in love with somebody, you got the opportunity to either ride that wave out or to experiment with it, but that's a connection and a feeling and a vibe that you can't deny. And much like the taste of cinnamon and the spice of it, if you are drinking a cup of coffee, if you are having a salad, if you are having what have you, and you eat and you taste cinnamon or someone slips cinnamon into your stuff, you're going to go, whoa, there's some cinnamon in here. And you can't deny that. You can't deny that taste.
That's right.
You can only lie to yourself about it, but you can't deny it. If that was the truth is the truth of that. And the reason why I called it cinnamon is because everybody, no matter what shape, size, color, denomination, orientation. The fact that this conversation has to happen is disappointing, but everyone deserves love, and the love the purest way. And I called it cinnamon because it's like, you know, the best cinnamon out there is pure ground cinnamon. So
yes, and 30 minutes later, you still can't get the taste out of your mouth.
and you talk about the lyrics of, like, you know, the innocent, you know, I think there's got to be an innocence to it. So, like, I didn't want to get too deep in the sense of, like, trying to sexualize a song. I wanted the innocence of the vibe of, like, of purity, again, of that pureness that I think we as people have forgotten about because, you know, the older you get, the more your heart gets broken, the more people have walked over you, the less of an open book. But I'm here to tell you that you can be an open book if you want it to be, and you can have that if you want it to be, and you can do that. And it doesn't matter who, it's like that across the board, and that's the idea behind cinnamon. And I got a really interesting concept for the music video. I don't know if that's something I should talk about. If that's something I should probably, like, stay away from. But I mean, you're gonna get a taste of pure ground love, and everyone deserves it. And then you talk about the lyrics. You know that the part, the right? That part. It's almost like whenever you ask somebody, why do you love me? And they can tell you six ways under the sun, but the way you can just say, I just know. And it's like, so how do you know there's cinnamon? I just know. I feel it. I heard it.
Are you producing and directing the music video yourself?
I am. You know, I get I got my discipline as a marketer with I graduated. I started did 3.5 years of international business in Mexico, where I'm from, and then I got the epiphany of going, holy cow, I really want something creative. So I moved back to Texas, and I got my discipline in marketing, and I studied media and film underneath it. And I have the pleasure of being able to know how to direct and how to operate a camera at my capacity. I mean, I'm no director in the sense of, like, oh my God, I have a crazy film. But everything that you've seen that I've released, I've either directed myself or played a critical role in the storyboarding, the production, the entire pioneering and engineering of it, if you will call it. I want to work with other people, but again, I'm just an entrepreneur, and I've never done something like this before. It's like I've never had a career in music other than the career that I have now. So, you know, you can only live and learn, but I know that this one is going to be really special, and I think the right mentality. I think I got the pure attitude, and I got my integrity behind it. And
I would love to collaborate with you. I would love to.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Get my contact information. 5 letters, V L E E V. V as in Victor, L as in Larry, E as in elephant, E as in elephant, and V as in Victor. Those 5 letters in Google will give you all my information.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna pass on to, like, circle back with an email with Madam Perry so we can kind of do it like that.
No problem.
Honestly, I want to say thank you. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just trying to say thank you and gratitude because, you know, I think that's what it's about. You know, I think people have lost that connection to really just connect with people and just do that. And I was having a conversation with Madam Perry, and, you know, you can hear the tone in people's voice, you know, the cadence and the timbre of people, of the way they communicate, to where it's almost like, I think you can tell when something is 100% bullshit for the most part, you know?
Yeah,
so,
how about that?
Like, and I think that's something you can't fake the funk on it, man. And once you know, you know. And that's why, you know, I spent this last year and a half growing my, you know, really kind of looking like a Six Sigma model. And I call my best friends, and I got my counsel, I call it. And I go, hey, I want to perfect Julian. I am not a perfect human being. I have done mistakes. I have F things up. It's not because I've wanted to, but it's because you grow, you live and you grow. And now I'm, you know, I spent this past year and a half just going, I want to perfect myself in the sense that I won't be ever perfect, but I always want to grow, and I always want to just be the best person that I can. And obviously, there's been hurt along the way, and I definitely haven't. I've fallen short on some things, but I acknowledge it, and I move forward, and I get back on the horse, and I'll tell you what, man, this man right here before you just has a 0 ounce of quit. You know, I've been through too much for me to not, and that's just your passion right now, speaking, taking the wheel. So I'll kind of reserve myself after that, but thank you so much, sir, for that, and
you know,
bet I'll circle back.
And he knows he can get all the information from me, too. And Vince and Julian,
yes.
I think another friend of yours, if one of you could just kind of move over a little bit, another friend of yours is coming in here.
Okay.
Hi,
okay.
Welcome to Madam Perry's Salon once again. Kenneth?
Hey, yes.
It's Kenneth W.
Hey, Kenneth.
Hey, I was just calling in to return the favor for you guys stopping by last night to say hi.
Anytime.
Yeah.
I talked about you in the beginning and about your coral reefs.
Oh, yeah. It's been a nightmare dealing with that today. I've been tearing apart this tank and trying to sell it and get a smaller tank. I'm trying to make that business a little more streamlined. We'll see how it goes.
Speaking of streamlined, I'm going to dip out. I'm glad to sit in and say hi to everybody. Once again, I'm at the Atlanta International Film Festival on Ponce de Leon at the Plaza Theater. Farmer's Daughter is playing, and I got to get back in there. I will talk to
you. All right. Love you so much, Vincent.
I love you right back, Jennifer. You are awesome. All you guys, good night, good luck, and I look forward to talking and hooking up with you later. Bye-bye.
Thank
now.
You, sir.
Good night.
You're welcome.
Bye. Thank you. Oh, Vincent Levy Bryant, filmmaker, musician, and dear, dear, sweet gentleman. So, Kenneth Kane, you're back here with Julian. We were just talking. I'm just getting him to tell me about his song, Cinnamon. And he was describing cinnamon as like being the analogy of the taste of cinnamon in something to when you first fall in love with somebody, just that recognition and feeling.
Oh, that's great. I love that. That's a great analogy. That's perfect.
Yeah, we just got started in it, and go on.
Yeah, I mean that, you know, kind of continuing that conversation, that it's funny how certain songs work, and some of them you don't know how to describe completely until later, and then it all starts falling into place. And again, I come to things from an entrepreneur perspective, because again, you know, I cut my teeth as an entrepreneur, and I did everything on my own with the help of my family and some good people along the way that were very supportive. But at the end of the day, it was a lot of my hard work and stuff to just even get to a spot, you know, where I have the opportunity to have a career. Because if you want to talk Matrix and success and all that stuff, I don't think I can't stand testament to compare to what people really do. I can only just say I'm lucky and very fortunate, very conscious of the gifts that I was given, and I'm now in a spot to where I want to just do art all the way, and I think I've built everything to do that, and that's the reason why I did it. And so Cinnamon was one of those things that where it was like a transition from almost to like consciousness for me as a writer, you know, writer to writer, man. The consciousness to where like it's like, oh crap, now I really have to put my feelings on the line. And I can tell you that I discovered feelings, and I'm like, holy cow, this is sadness. Holy cow, this is happiness. Holy cow, this is love. And, you know, when I was having the meeting with my mixing engineer and my sound engineer, when we were talking about the vibe of the song, he's like, hey, so Julian, tell me how you feel. And I'm like, what do you mean what I feel? I just want a good song. And I got this idea. He's like, man, he's like, you got to get in tune with your feelings, man. I'm like, you got to really get in tune. And so like that was almost kind of like a pivotal moment in my life as a writer, to where I'm like, dude, I really need to get knees deep into it. And you know, I think the I wouldn't call it a distraction as much as like a sacrifice and something that I've had to just like bite the bullet and just get really involved business wise and business oriented and entrepreneur oriented, because you know, my budget's not high. I've had to do 100 million things under the sun to make things happen. The amount of fame dangos, I call them, that I've had to do to be able to do some stuff. And so now from a writer's perspective, that transitioned me, and I've been able to now connect to it. And you'd be surprised the 180 that I've been able to do just from, like, connecting and digging real deep into myself, from my performances to the vocal delivery to the way that I feel. And people and that's crazy, because people see that. People know that. People feel it. People got it. And, you know, you got to – I look back into songs that inspired me, and you listen to a song like, for example, the I Can't Live, Living Is Without You by Harry Nilsson, or, I Started a Joke by the Bee Gees. And if you tune into it, it will make you feel sad. And that's the nitty-gritty, because I think music is the most beautiful thing in the world, and it's also, I think, the most interactive product that exists out there. And it's also one of the most, I think it's the biggest phenomenon ever, and it will stand the test of time along with honey. And it's just one of those things that I feel so happy to be transitioning to that perspective, to now as a writer, to, like, for example, the next thing I did, I said, well, I want to write a song about the feeling of just, like, desperation and the toxicity of a relationship. You know, we all have relationships. We all go through them, you know. And then I wanted to analyze. I was in a toxic relationship a long time ago, and by the time I got that idea for that song, I was like, well, man, I need something to, like, put me back into it. And there's only so much that you can do to dig deep to relive that feeling without going out and purposely getting your heart broken, right? And so what I did is I committed myself to smoke cigarettes and get addicted to them, to where, like, man, there were days where I would smoke about 2 packs a day just so I could, like, get that feeling in comparison of going, like, I don't need this in my life. I know consciously that I don't need it in my life. Just like in a relationship, you know that, for me, I know the girl's bad news, but I have to leave, but I can't, because that minute you hold each other's hand, and for that 5 seconds that you manage to hug each other, there's so much peace and it fits together. And the minute you're done, then it's like, oh man, what am I doing? What's going on? And so I mean, I went deep into it, and I don't think I've ever dug as deep and as a writer. And as soon as the song was done, I quit smoking cigarettes. Every now and then, if I'm out drinking with some friends, I'll see one. I'll go, hey, give me a puff of that. But that's no different than what I was doing before. Before, every now and then,
I was like a method actor. You know?
And it gave me some real stuff. And you know, it gave me the line of, like, you know, if today's moon is the last that we harvest, and if tomorrow's morning breakfast is the last that I'll ever taste, then all I ask of you, pretty please, is at least remember me. And so those are lines that I can deliver and say them true to my heart and not be fake about it. And I think that's part of, as a writer, you know, I start to understand why professions exist and why you have to be focused on a profession, because you have to dive in. You have to sell yourself. Now, well, I'm not talking about selling, you know, your soul or selling whatever. Like, I'm talking convince yourself and believe in yourself and really allow yourself to just be submerged into that inspiration for you to pop out of, for you to come up with this material. And that's, you know, you'd be surprised at how I've just been growing and the amount of doors that open and the amount of conviction that you can now, like, release. I had this one of these shows that I last did, a photographer for South By came up to me, and he goes, Julian, he's like, you know, you were wearing sunglasses for a little bit, and you took them off when it got darker. And he's like, I saw you open your eyes maybe twice, man. There's so much just, like, passion and grit. And I'm just like, man, I have to close my eyes and lock into something that's bigger than myself, something that I still can't quite comprehend. I can only just respect, understand, and just lock in and just become a part of. And you know, we can get in deeper with that, but that's the feeling. And And you know, you have to be passionate, and you have to just let it out. And the way that I speak about my art now versus the way that I was a year ago was like, oh, yeah, oh, music. Now I'm just like, you know, this is exactly what I'm doing. This is why I'm doing it. And there's a means to an end. It's not just throwing darts out in the world saying, oh, God, throw me a line. It's like, you know, hey, help yourself, kid, but I'll be there along the way.
Yeah, there we go.
That's good stuff. That's powerful.
Before we go any further with that, and I love that, and I think this is going to be a great show for people to listen to, for young musicians or people just starting a music career to listen to. Julian, thank you for that gift. But also, Kenneth and Julian, would you mind making just a little bit of room, because the most fabulous woman I know is coming in the door, and she is my BFF, my best friend forever. And this is Kenya. Aww. Kenya, come on in, honey.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi, Julian. Hi, Ken. I'm trying to squeeze in that little space. Can I get a little bit more room?
You got it. You got it. Everybody get real friendly and close.
That's right. That's right. That makes it fun. That makes it fun. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing well.
Julian, I love your passion. Absolutely love your passion. It jumps right through the radio. I love that.
Thank you so much, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's just jumping. I can hear that you love what you do. And the more we love what we do, the less it seems like work. And the more people can actually feel more than they expected to get from, especially the kind of talent that you have. So kudos, man. Good job.
Man, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I was going to tell you, I took a writing class once, and this will make sense to you. I took this writing class once, and the teacher said that in order to write really good stuff, you have to get naked with your emotions.
Oh,
and that sounds exactly what you did.
It's so true. It's so true. And you know what? And it makes you a better communicator, man. The way that I can communicate now to my family, the way that I can express myself, you know, I grew up, you know, I wouldn't say I grew up in a bad environment, but I grew up, you know, from a very poor family. I always had food on the table. I'm not trying to like overextend it and go, oh man, it was super rough, but you know, we made ends meet. My parents, you know, always took us out to eat on Sunday after church, and my dad was always there for us. My mom was always there for us. And, you know, there's other circumstances, you know, that come into play. And you know, I had to kind of almost mold myself to it a little bit, because, you know, my parents, my dad is, you know, he was challenged and speaking English. He can speak to you body language, and man to man, mano a mano. And, that, you know, that's a whole different conversation. But, you know, as far as, like, being able to go to the principal's office, it was more, you know, my dad be like, I can go in there and I'm probably going to start screaming and saying some stuff that they're not going to understand me on. But,
right.
You know, I kind of had to come in tune and grow as a human being. And part of it, too, is, you know, people ask me, man, you come from a – because my mom comes from a very well-educated family. And my granddad was an amazing man, politician, just an amazing, amazing human being. And, you know, mom gave it all up out of love to, like, be an executive. My mom gave it all up from being a very, very successful executive in Mexico as a woman in the 1980s. To immigrate to the United States only to start cleaning houses. And that, to me, the amount of moxie that I think it takes for someone to do that, you know, that helped me grow and mold. And so, again, back to the feelings part, you know, I had to learn that on my own. And it's one of those things where it's like you make what you have. You deal with what the cards that you're given, and you stop worrying and stop complaining about what you don't have and start working with what you do have and make the best of it. And I think that's what I've done. It's taken me a while. You know, my mom helped me put myself, along with my hard work, you know, I went to college. That was the bottom line for me, was to go, I wouldn't say as much as, like, get an education, but I wanted to learn to to speak a particular language. And manners are so important to me. Certain things are very important to me that I just can't sacrifice. And people ask me, man, well, you must come from, like, a wealthy family because I'm well-spoken and people don't think I'm Mexican. But I'm like, man, I did it because I surrounded myself, and I love to surround myself by good people. And I will take pride by all my best friends. One of my best friends, Robert Baffy, is 27 this Friday. And he's working for a Fortune 500 company, management, super big deal that he's doing. And I'm just going to give it up to him. And I can say that about all my buddies that are just super successful, but just down to earth, real people that you can call up and say, hey, man, I need to talk to you for a second. And they're open hearted and just so much brotherhood. And then so many sisters with the, you know, sisterhood and just, you know, and I think that's part of it too. It's like, what do you want out of life? You know, some people say, well, I don't want to, I'm not nice because it doesn't come naturally. Well, no shit. If you're in a bad day, it's not going to come naturally to you. Like, but you got to look inside yourself and come to truth with yourself and go, this is what I want. And so at the end of the day, it's also what you want, what your heart desires. And you know, how beautiful would it be if everyone did what they love, you know? That, how beautiful would that be? And again, you know, I don't think whenever I said this last night, and I'll say it again, and this is one of my favorite lines that I learned from a taco. It was a Jack in the Box commercial. And it was when someone says, oh, I can't do that. Like when someone says, man, I don't know how to be proper in a certain, or I don't know how to like fit in with this crowd. I'm like, well, definitely not with that attitude.
Exactly. 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 Wow. You're a great motivator.
Well,
yeah. I hate to interrupt. I'm going to leave. My daughter just came back. She needs help with her homework. But I wanted to stop by and say hi, Julian.
Thank you.
I'll be listening to the replay tomorrow while I work.
Well, hey,
thanks.
I saw that you added me on Facebook, man. I did see that, and I've been meaning to reach out to you. I am in the middle of a tour, and I got three weekend dates and a bunch of stuff that I had to set up today. But I will circle back with you, man. So thank you,
okay,
number
cool.
one for that.
Cool. Yeah, sure.
So much, Dennis. And best of luck with
your
Embers.
Yeah, sure. All thank
right,
you. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you again.
Bye. Thank you. Bye, Kenneth.
Yes,
bye-bye.
You will.
Bye, Kenneth.
Wow. So, this is, you're like a method actor. You really take stuff inside, especially when you talk about like starting a smoking habit so you'll be able to have the feeling of something rather than having to go through another bad love affair or something. But, you know, Pat, the great writer Pat Conroy, who passed away last year, you know, he would talk about how, like, when he wrote The Great Santini about his father, that he would, I read an article where he described how when he sat down at his desk, he would bring, you know, in his imagination, he brought out a little tiny version of himself and sat it on his desk to poke it and pick at it, to get those feelings back from his childhood, you know. And I remember thinking, oh, that's so, how painful, you know, like bringing his old pain back for him. And
You got it. I feel like you have to put yourself in that spot, because how can you communicate sadness to someone and make someone believe sadness if you're not feeling that emotion? And that's
right.
a lesson that I've had to learn. And you know, I've had to grow. I've had to do a lot of growing in the short amount of time and the capacity I've done it. And then, you know, also I had a really nasty experience last year. I went through a car accident that put me in a concussion, and it really didn't feel like a big deal. I did not think it was going to be that big of a deal until I just started feeling really bad. And then the headaches came, and then my neck started messing up. And then I went in one day to do my laundry, and I attempted to do my laundry, and I put the clothes in the washing machine and the quarters in the dryer. And then I was like, wait, what am I doing? And then by that time, reality was starting to sink in. It's like, oh, you're not okay. But I had to have enough friends of mine to tell me, like, dude, Julian, you're not yourself. And, you know, I mean, I broke down in tears after so many appointments, after so much stuff, after so much pain that I went through.
Mm.
After so much of that, it put me in a spot to where, like, the doctor told me, the neurologist said, look, guy, I'm going to give it to you straight. Julian is here, so be happy that you're there. And he's in there, but it's going to take about at least a year, maybe a year and a half, pal, for you to be 100. And then now it just kind of like hit me all, you know, you start waking up and all of a sudden it's like, holy shit, like this happened. And you kind of like survive it. And you know, you learn to like, to not take things for granted. And I've learned, you know, and it was such a tough year for me to like continue my career and do the things that I did, to finish recording Cinnamon, to do stuff the way I did in the best capacity that I could with my, while leading a team and being an entrepreneur. And I had a side job to kind of like, you know, help me, I guess, fund some of my projects and help pay for some of this stuff. But, you know, it all taught me a lesson of just, like, embrace what you have and go with it and then just believe in yourself. And you got to believe in yourself. And it's a conversation that I recently had with someone. And he was like, you know, I believe in you, man. And he's like, and I can believe in you all. He's like, I can believe in you all I want, but you got to believe in yourself the most. I had to come to terms with that later, you know, like a while back ago. And it's just been this confidence thing to where I'm like, you know, I want that. I didn't just want it, but I sought it and I embraced it. And now I'm like, I feel like I've been given this gift, and I think it would be a slap in the face to God if I didn't use it to the best of my ability and really do it. And so I'm trying to get to the path of where I need to be as quickly and as safely as possible. And I'm starting to meet a lot more people, and I'm just, again, I'm learning, I'm trying to dissect things, and I'm trying to understand, but where I'm at right now is transitioning from an entrepreneur through and through mindset to just focusing on my music and the art and the creativity, and then letting the rest of the team and the people that I have surround me worry about the rest. And I think, you know, I think my talent has taken me very, 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 very far when I at times have, like, not even exploited it. And it's like, you know, I can't deny that there's something there, and I'd be a monkey's uncle if I didn't just give it everything that I had. And that's what I mean to do.
And you're doing it right now. This is you doing it. This is you doing that.
You know, it's like I was telling Kenya, and Kenya and I, we've been close friends for about 18 years, and I was telling her, I think when you have something like that, as you said, that's a God-given gift. I don't care what it is.
Yes.
If that's something, a gift, a talent given to you, I think if you don't use it, you don't pursue it, you don't honor it, I think a part of your – this is my philosophy. I think a part of your soul starts to wither. What I would like to do is play Dandelion, if I may, by Julian Acosta. Dandelion.
Yay.
You're like an ocean. You're the touchstone magic potion. I feel like a king, no crown. I feel a little bit let down. Stay with me tonight. a little bit crazy. With a little luck, maybe. We're looking for a place in time. No fuss, just the sweet sunshine to the light of the morning.
That was Dandelion by Julian Acosta. Julian, I'm so sorry. I meant to mute your mic, and I cut it off. I did not mean to.
No, that's okay. That's 100% okay.
Hey, you know what I want to know about you? I want to know what songwriters inspire and move you.
You know, I have thought about this, and I am in the middle of compiling a list that I have in front of me, because every time I get asked, I always feel like I leave someone out, and then I go, man, I didn't give this guy the attention he should have. But the people that come straight to mind, number one is Ben Harper. Number two is Van Morrison. I think the poetry behind Van Morrison, the delivery, and then the way is unparalleled. I have nothing but respect and admiration for women, and the way he put the song Tupelo Honey is an inspiration of how I aspire to, like, one day treat my significant other when I meet her, right? You know, because I believe in that.
That's so sweet.
And I mean for the, you know, that song, you know, you can drop, you know, you can take all the tin shining, drop it in the big blue sea. That line, now, I don't remember exactly how he phrases it, but it's like, man, it's like, you know, it's talk about giving it all up. And then Ben Harper, I think Ben Harper for me, and was the first guy, because I grew up I grew up a little bit pissed off because I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't know English. I got bullied, and I was a really small kid. And I was just pissed off at the fact that I just didn't know what was going on. And so Ben Harper to me was like, hey, dude, you don't have to be angry. You don't have to, like, you don't have to have anger in your heart. And music had always spoken to me, but I was listening to hip-hop. I mean, one of my first albums was The Chronic by Dr. Dre. And, you know,
you were trying to get mad, weren't you? You were really mad.
And when I started listening to Ben Harper, and then all of a sudden, you know, I started getting into rock and roll. I had to have been like, 14, 15. And then there's a guy here in Austin who I've had the pleasure to meet, and I really wish to sit down and talk with, because he's a huge guy. And, you know, his name is Bob Schneider, and I listened to him. I actually got into a car wreck one time listening to Bob. My first car wreck ever, I was listening to him. And, you know, But songwriters, again, it was Ben Harper. It was Van Morrison. You know, there's a Spanish artist that I really liked, and it was Vicente Fernandez. And I really like the writing. I don't know if he was really a writer, but whoever was behind some of that stuff is great.
That's really old school, Vicente Fernandez.
Oh yes, man, that's super old. And then, you know, there's a song by Luis Prima too called Bonacera. You know, it talks about, you know, Bonacera, Senorina, Bonacera, and it's time to say goodnight in Napoli. And this, the delivery to that music was just phenomenal. And I mean, I think Van Morrison and Ben Harper are right now the two ones that keep speaking to me. And I know there's more out there, and I know I'm going to get done and be like, crap, I forgot. those two in particular, at least for when I started growing up, I really just helped me dissect, and I'd still listen to them on the regular. And, you know, and the whole, you know, I guess maybe this is something that might translate, you know, about writing a love song. Is I wrote this new love song recently, and I can't wait to get it recorded, and I can't wait to get it done right. And I showed it to one of my guitarists last night, and I guess the guitarist, and he's like one of my partners in crime, but we haven't jammed together for a while. I've been kind of doing a solo project and really focusing on my vocals and my diaphragm and just owning the vocalness and my skillmanship as a musician. You know, the lyrics to that brought me back to, like, you know, the wanting to be pure of heart of something. So the song starts, I'll always remember, I'll never forget the way I felt on the day that we met. Because oh, how you school and oh, how you shine. My gypsy traveler, you're the end of the line. And then the hook, the chorus is, because I know in my arms you're the keys to everything. And then the part that really hit me, that I was like, man, you know, how committed are you to this love? And then, you know, I started listening to Spanish song about, like, the Spanish songs, and, you know, started kind of going, it's like, man, and then going to my feelings, it's like, how far are you willing to go for the love of someone when you just know so hard? And the next line goes, and I have zero guilt about it because it's art and it's interpretation, but it goes, you know that I'd follow you straight to hell. I'd be much obliged, my girl, Mary Bell. And then it goes, because you already know you got my heart in your hands, little lady, because of you, I'm a better man. And
aww, love it.
And to me, that can't be more honest than my character and my person. You know, for the longest time, I think as a songwriter, I was like, oh, it's a song, take it at face value, or a song. But now I'm like, no, this song, I can tell you exactly what I'm feeling and how I'm feeling it. I wouldn't say you'd be surprised, because obviously you shouldn't be surprised, the way that, like, that it changes your dynamic and the way you approach things and the way you write, the way you do stuff. And I actually wanted to write that love song and get inspiration, and I tried to meet, you know, some girls, and I tried to, like, you know talk to girls and be like, you know, what is it that you want out of life? And then it just all brought me back to, dude, it's ain't about anyone else, it's about your feelings and what you want to project to the world and what you want to give. And so again, it's all this experimentation and this digging until you find what you're looking for. And then it
definitely
just comes, and you just got to work a little hard. And the very last line, the very last, I guess, stanza to that is, you're making me nervous. What else can I do when I'm crossing the paths with the likes of you? And I want to do a quick shout out to someone that, you know, there's this couple that I met, the Hollingsworth, and I'm going to meet with them next Monday. I met them organically. Really, they're this couple. They travel the world together, and I wanted to ask them about their story and who they are and et cetera. And you know what their story was? We met, I can't remember if they met in Texas or Louisiana. I want to say they said, we met in Louisiana. 3 months later, we were married. And they've been together for X amount of years. And I'm just like, man, why can't everybody should be looking at that, doing that?
I agree with you. I agree with you.
I mean, those two are probably the biggest partners in crime I've ever seen. They should write a, like, those are the, and just when I email them back and forth, and every now and then, you know, we get out of touch, but I always go back and circle with them. And I told them one day, I go, you know, one day you guys are going to inspire me to write a love song. And I got done with it, and I was like, man, this is the passion that I was,
yeah,
that they have and that I was talking about. And I finally feel like I understand what that passion is. I don't know, I haven't had it in the sense that we're like, I have that. I thought I've had it, but I can't wait for that to happen. And it's just interesting how everything that you do, and now I'm super critical with who I hang out with. I'm super, you know, who I spend time with, who I don't spend time with. Sometimes I'll interview people in the sense of, like, I'll kind of feel them out, but won't let them know I'm feeling them out. And then, you know, I'll kind of go, because I think at the end of the day, you know, life is too precious to spend it with stupid people or people that aren't worth anything. I could send so much love, and I don't want this to be taken in the wrong context of why I got hate for human beings. I got nothing but belief in us as humanity, and I got nothing but belief for all of us. But I think some of us should dig a little deeper, or should allow themselves to open up to dig a little deeper. But when it comes to my life, and something that I cherish, I will select and I will fight to select to the people that I get the privilege to say that I am your friend and you're my friend and vice versa. So,
Have you heard of like spirits? Have you heard of like spirits? Like people who just, when you're around them, you have this connection, this spiritual connection that goes beyond just like or dislike. It's like you're
totally
kind of know each other, even though you've never met before. Have you've gotten friends like that, people you've met before, you've come into contact with, and you cannot figure out, what is it about this person that has me feeling so connected to them, and I really don't know them that well?
Absolutely. I'll throw out one of my really good friends, and he's also someone that I really look up to, and you know, I think he's been a mentor in certain capacity, not officially, but he's been a mentor to where I see what he's doing. I kind of analyze his business moves, and I'll kind of like step back and I'll check out what he's doing. But his name is Will, and the first time we met, you know, it was really funny because I was just like, oh, man, this is really cool. What a great guy. And then I kind of – he was like, oh, man, hey, we're all coming over to my house. I live across the street. And, you know, I was – all of a sudden my adulting or my senses come in, and I'm like, all right, be smart about this. I want to be completely open, but I was like, hey, man, what are you about? Because, like, you know, like I'm really careful with myself and who I surround myself with. And he's like, no, dude, it's cool. And then we just had the greatest conversation, and they've allowed
me.
I've had the pleasure. I have had the sure pleasure and honor to be their friend and to have them let me come over and for them to just be so hospitable and sometimes pick me up when I'm down and just phenomenal people. And that was one connection. I got another buddy of mine who I think some of the best ones that I have are when you have friends and you just are around each other and you can't just stop giggling because you're just both on the same thing and you just giggle and everything and people look at you weird and you're like, man, if you have to stare, you know, why don't you join us.
Right, exactly.
And
you know anybody like that, Kenya?
Yeah,
anybody
I was about
like
to say that.
You cannot explain that thing. You know, there's this thing that happens, and since I've been a little kid, some people collect toys, some people collect, you know, all these collectibles. But me, I collect people. I collect good people that I just want to have around me. And sometimes, you know, you'll look on your shelf of life and you'll see that some of those people aren't who you think they are. And the hardest part is knowing how to separate them. And I collect
people as I go, and I always end up, I promise you, always let God lead me, because he always brings me good people, and they just stay with me, like Jennifer. Jennifer is one of those people. Well, I met her at work, and we've been friends ever since that we went from being friends to best friends. And I feel
wow.
that in you, and I feel you collecting good people who help to make you who you are. And
I am grateful.
Absolutely.
I am grateful every day for Kenya in my life. I am. I always say that you never really know people until you either work with them or live with them. And Kenya and I have worked together, and we've traveled together. So
we still like each other too,
and we still like each other. Yeah. In fact, I think one of the greatest testaments to about our friendship is this has happened more than once. We've been in restaurants just having lunch, and somebody and a waiter brought somebody over. It was another server, and they said, "Listen, my coworker's having a really bad day, so I wonder if I could bring her over here because you guys keep laughing and you're so much fun."
Exactly.
Like, that was so sweet.
Oh my gosh. My buddy Britt. I'm gonna mention my buddy Britt. Him and I,
yes.
we were the other day. We look at each other and we're like, man, let's just walk down, because we were on his way to my buddy Clay's and Britt's house. They're roommates. But my buddy Britt and I, we were kind of both on our own for a second. We're like, hey, we're like, let's just walk. I don't know if we had it consciously, but we did it. I don't even think we talked about it. I think we just started doing it. And we just started talking to everybody that we saw that we crossed paths with.
Uh-huh.
And we're like, hey, high five. You're an amazing human being. Don't ever forget that. You're doing awesome. And people were just like, whoa. And we're like, no. Believe it. You're awesome. It's in you. And just high five. And we got out of that. We're just like laughing. And we're just like, man, how? And we looked at each other. I'm like, man, there's no better drug in the world. Or no better thing in the world than just having that good feeling of just the goodness. And there's nothing that can beat that. And he's one of those people that we get around each other and we just start cracking up and it's just funny. He's a funny character. And you know, my little sister's like that too. I got my little sister. We're around each other and we have the quirks and we get into character and we just have these funny things. And you know, I think that's one of the little ladies too, that I've probably been the most sincere and honest with too, since I was younger. She's always just been a good listener, and she's probably
uh-huh.
one of my biggest fans too. Always front row center of my concerts.
Won't let me
sometimes pay for tickets, or won't let me pay for a ticket. Sometimes she's like ahead of time. She goes, I already bought tickets. And she's critical and she's honest and she's like, hey, you know, you might want to check this out. You might want to check that out. So I have an accountability buddy with her, and, you know, and I'm so proud of all my siblings. So proud of everybody. And, you know, I'm just, you know, as a human being, I sit there and look at it. And then let's talk about, you know, the friendships on topic, right? You know, I think one of the most beautiful moments I ever had is when I started talking to my guy buddies. And we started telling each other when we get off the phone, and we say, hey, man, I love you, buddy. And
yeah.
that was like such a crazy experience, because it's like, you know, there was a question where it was like, hey, I love you. And it's like, you know, guys going, well, you just told a guy you love him? It's like, hell yeah, I did, man. That's my
That's
brother.
Right.
I love him to death, man. And I love him.
That's right.
And it's funny, we're in a time, such a critical time in humanity,
exactly.
where we've had this education, we've had all these wars, we've had all this history, and we're in such a critical path that we're now, it's like, man, there's no, either you're good or you're bad.
That's
and either you're going to pretend, you're bad, but you're really good, or either you're going to pretend you're good, but you're really bad. I call
really
those
bad.
Wolves in sheep's clothing. But
that's right.
And again, who am I? Who am I to judge or say, oh, you're a bad person? Because you know, there's definitely things, and people will tell you, well, you know, Julian, one time he wasn't all that great, and you know, you live and you learn. But what I do is I try to come to Jesus with it, and I go, crap,
that's
man.
Right.
And that's kind of where I grew up, and the kind of man that I became. And and giving you the things that are important to me. And yeah, for the people. And it's something, too, that I've learned from, like, a business perspective and an entrepreneurship perspective and talking to people. It's like, man, people don't invest in companies. They don't invest in products unless it's, like, a stock thing. Then it's like that. Other than that, people invest in people.
And people. I say it all the time.
And that's kind of lessons that I've learned. And, again, you know, it's funny how things start unveiling themselves once you work. And I kind of like, I'll have some people that I get the pleasure of mentoring. You know, I've been mentoring students in college for a while, and I'll talk to them, and sometimes they'll go, you know, Julian, I really want to, some of them are music oriented. And so the music oriented ones are like, Julian, I really want to learn music. And I'll go, cool. You know your scales? And they'll go, no. I'm like, stop practicing them. Don't be scared to suck at first. You might suck at first, but be honest, and it's okay. Like, there's a point in time where you're not very good at it. I'm like, but, man, once you start doing it and once you start gaining that experience, then things start unveiling themselves. And then you're like, oh, but you don't know until you know. And the brass tacks here is just do it, you know. It's funny how so many people, you hear all these interviews and so many people go, just do it. Just go out and do it. Whatever it is, just do it. It's going to suck at first. It might not be the greatest. Things might not work out. You're going to mess up. Just apologize and learn. Say, I'm sorry. How can I make it up to you? And try your best. And we're all, at the end of the day, going to fall short, and we're going to continue to disappoint ourselves, and we're going to fall flat on our face. And that's just, you know, the nitty-gritty of stuff. And I think that's beautiful. To come to terms with that is beautiful.
Actually, that's for Kenya. I always say that we're too opposite to be best friends, because she's the cheerful, positive one, and I'm usually the curmudgeon all the time. You know,
that's
where she's always going, hey, give me love. And I'm going, just leave him alone. Just come on. Make him leave me alone. You know, we're total opposite.
We are so not.
But I got to tell you this. For people listening too, there's some things I really want to make sure I get in here too. First of all, on all my social media, I'll have connections to Julian Acosta stuff. His website is julianacostamusic.com, and I'll have links to that. And he's on Instagram, Kenya. And also, you have so many things written about you, just little short quotes were, well, you were Austin Music Awards. You were named top 10 musician or top 10 band. Also, I was reading something in Texas Music Water. Now, this is from 2014, but it was talking about, you said, Acosta makes certain there is meaning attached to his music. High Five, which is the song, title song of that CD or album, High Five is his ode to music's capability to connect people, even strangers. He recognized that his capability to do just this as a musician has only been strengthened with his affiliation with Texas Music Water. And then you're going on, and he said later on, you said, you know, it was talking about you, and it said how you enter everything with genuine goals and sincerity. And with that in mind, he hopes to put, quote, nothing but positivity, quote, into the community. You know, so, yeah. That was 2014.
Yes.
You still live for to speak. Also, what is June the 18th?
Well, June the 18th, I had the pleasure of being given this Julian Acosta Day, and you know, I want to stay true to myself, and I just that's just something that's so valuable is the fact of it's been 2014 and positivity, but there's been some downs, and there's been times in between then where it's gotten dark. And I think I've fallen down, and I've failed, and I've let a couple people down, not that I've meant to. And sometimes you're doing it without you're doing it, and sometimes people don't know. But, you know, I at the end of the day, I do have that mentality, and it's something that I'm continuing to learn. And you know, you grow, and you try to learn more as you grow. Because it's like you grow, and then it's like, oh, man, the responsibilities more, the vibe that you have is higher, the energy levels are higher, and it's just like that much bigger of a horse that you're riding and that much bigger of a car that you're driving. But yes, I go into it with that mentality, and I've always had that mentality, and I think it was critical to continue that mentality by again just surrounding yourself with positivity and wanting to do it. There's a difference between being an optimistic and positive and not being not being honest, but you can always have the attitude of going the right, taking the right attitude to things. And and I've tried my best. I'm trying my best. You know, sometimes you don't know until you know. And trust me, once I know, I try to adjust. But the awesome music, the Julian Acosta Day, you know, that's something funny because the first guy I saw when I first moved to Austin, there was this guy shaking things up in this town named Alejandro Rose Garcia. And his name is, he goes by Shaky Graves. And you know, he's huge. He's so cool. He's a really down to earth dude, and I've had the pleasure of having conversations with him, and we exchanged numbers not too long ago at the Austin Music Industry Awards, and he was with his girlfriend, and he's just a genuine dude, just really like, hey dude, what's going on, what's happening, and it's just a great person to be around. And I saw him get it first, and I remember going, man, that would be so cool. And then that started happening, and I was like, man, that's a pretty interesting deal. And and at the end of the day, too, it kind of holds you accountable to, like, your community. Because I think I am a firm believer that eventually if you are in business or if you are in something that you really care about or if you really care about life, then you would want to be a part or you would want to participate in your community. And that's what I want to do. I've always wanted to do that. You know, there's a way to go about it. You know, I never once really introduced myself to the community formally, and I never once said hi. I never went door to door and said hi, I'm Julian Acosta, and this is who I am. And I see the positivity that could have done. I see the negative that could have done. But you know, I did it the best way I could, and I didn't really think about it. I just started working. I just started operating, and I started with on a couch with my, at my ex-girlfriend's house and a coffee shop, and then I slowly started growing. And again, I hold my community here, you know, real, real tight. And you know, if you were listening earlier about the cigarettes deal, well, the thing I hate the most, the thing that I don't miss the most, is walking around with cigarette butts in my back pocket because I didn't have the heart to just throw them on the floor. And I still to this day, still to this day, I see people, if I see them litter, it just breaks. I feel like, have y'all ever seen You Two Beautiful Ladies? Have y'all seen Wayne's World 2?
Wayne's World 2,
yes. At the very end, when the concert's done and, like, the field is trashed, there's this Indian with a pickup stick, and he's super sad because the field is all trashed. That's how I get that feeling whenever I see the stuff being thrown. And then there's that publicly part where, like, okay, if you're going to say don't litter, then you better not litter. And so I'm very conscious about it, and I look at it, and then you look at all this other stuff. And again, I think it's accountability. I think it was a time for, okay, Julian, you want to be a part of this community? Well, then we're going to give you the opportunity to be held accountable. So as much as like of an honor that I want to take it, I want to look at it as an accountability. And I'd love nothing more than to continue to grow with my community. And I really wish everyone would just come together even more. Not saying that our community is broken, but, I mean, we live in an America, let's be honest, we live in an America that's divided, and we live in an America where everyone's kind of like, you know, trying to do something, and we live in an America where a lot of people just don't know any better, and we live in an America where what would you do if you had kids to feed and they depend on you, and you got to all of a sudden fight for them, and what would you do if you were in certain people's shoes? So the compassion part's there, but again, I think it's a time in America where we as people need to stick up and stand up and go, man, haven't y'all had enough? there comes a point where you're like, aren't you tired of eating shit sandwiches and saying, thank you, sir, I'll have another? Aren't you tired?
Yeah.
And I think that's something that people need to talk to themselves about and just go and drop everything, put the cards on the table and say, all right, let's talk. Let's really talk. Let's really, really, really talk and not be threatened. Let's really talk. And because, you know, I mean, people were people. And, you know, and then there's the talks of people are people, but business is business. There's that mentality. But, you know, I think you can kind of have both to an extent, you know, and I think it, again, and America, the world in its own should be its own community. And I am so proud, man. I tell you, one of the proudest things I've ever had is after the election to see all these millennials and college kids out on the street just saying no, 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 no. And just having so many people right now using their voice saying, I won't have it. No.
That's right. Exactly.
And that's the thing. I think the mentality that we need to have while at the same time, you know, I think so many people are trying to build an empire or trying to do this. And, you know, and I think people should just like, guys, there's room for everybody. But
yeah.
It's got to start with the conversation. And I'm so proud to be an American. I'm an immigrant, and I can't stand when my Mexican friends go, oh, the gringos. And I'm like, dude, F off, man. That is my people as much as you're to my people. And
that's right.
I don't know boundaries. I don't know borders. I think that's a bunch of BS. But
I'm with you.
That's Kenya. That is Kenya. That is Kenya.
Yeah. I'm so with
Kenya
him
has
right
the most,
now. So
you, Kenya has the most open heart. You, Kenya, and my husband, the two of them, have the most open heart.
And Jennifer. She never
don't
gives herself credit.
Don't draft me in.
I mean, I would
You've
much rather.
You've got to come to Atlanta. You've got to come to Atlanta.
I want to. Trust
Julian.
Me, I am in the process of really trying to travel a lot more with my music, and that's something I love about it too, is I get the opportunity to make something happen, to travel and see the world while playing and just selling my, giving my everything to that. And that's, I'm so excited for that.
And I apologize for interrupting you, but I want to make sure people know too that all your social media, you know, I'll share, but I'm going to give us a few things off of your website page, little quotes from different publications. Media outlets. Alistair Fusion Magazine, uh-huh. Taking This Town by Storm. Live is gritty.
Austin.
Okay. Live is gritty with a rock and roll soul blues vibe. And one of my favorites is Austin.com. The quote will make you fall in love. I mean, come on, Kenya. You know, that says, you know, it will make you fall in love. And you've got a lot of dates. This Friday you're going to be at the Double Wide in Dallas?
I will be at the Double Wide this Friday. I'll be at the Iron Cactus up north in Austin this Saturday. And then I got San Antonio Car Fest on Sunday. And then I'm back in Fort Worth to play the Magnolia Motor Lounge the next Thursday. And then I am at Vulcan Gas Company on the 15th, back at the Iron Cactus on the 14th. And I'm trying to book as much music and play as much as possible. I think, you know, I'm ready for it. I don't think I've ever been this confident. I think there's a difference between being confident and cocky. You know, there's such thing as having humility with confidence. And I think that's where I'm at right now. And I just pray and I try to just keep myself grounded on that and just kind of and take it day by day. But I do have my goals and I want to see the world and I want to headline big stuff and I want to just play and I will take it as far as my talent will take me. I want to push myself until I peak.
There you go.
We want to take you to Atlanta and then also, let's see, Asheville, North Carolina, Atlanta, Decatur. We got Kenya. I know you got plans. I know you got a record company. I know you got a whole staff. But Kenya and I have plans too. And when we have plans, They're usually pretty fun.
Yeah. You bet, ladies. The day that I go to Atlanta, Madam Perry, I promise you, I will either visit you and be with you in any capacity, and would love to buy you coffee or anything. It'd be my pleasure.
Kenya and I will take care of you. So will Kenya. Vincent Levy Bryant was here earlier, and so
I was listening. I heard him. Yes, I did. Great hearing him.
She's such a sweetie. And you know, Julian, you're gonna just have to. Kenya has a podcast called Everything Relationships, and they talk about everything to do. And I always say the thing about her podcast, it's a different thing than this, but it's the one place I know of where adults can come together and have discussions about anything, very open, very honest, and no one raises their voice and no one gets mad. People can have grown folk discussions and be honest and give respect.
Why can't the whole world be like that podcast?
No.
But everybody,
the show is called Everything Relationship, so we're working on it one relationship at a time. So
yeah,
I'm
so
doing my
is.
Best, Jordan. I'm right there with you, my friend.
I got a feeling you may be on her podcast sometime soon. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm just guessing.
I already feel it.
Sometimes. Like one of us is thinking it, the other one's thinking it.
I'm always thinking it.
I think you're fantastic.
I will contact you, though, but I have enjoyed you immensely. Definitely love your energy. Love it.
If Kenya hadn't convinced me to finally go onto Instagram, I don't know when I would have found you. So I want to thank you, and I want to go.
I'm so sorry to interrupt, but I think I got a friend listening. I just got a text message, and a buddy just goes, John Butler Trio, dude. It really says bra. It's like John Butler Trio bra. And that's so true. John Butler Trio, when I first moved back to Texas in 2007 after doing college in Mexico, I really got into John Butler Trio and just what he was doing and his lyrics. You know, he wrote, you know, The Gov Did Nothing. You know, he talks about how the government stood back and just watched. I'd be a monkey's uncle now, and it's just, you know, you don't know until you know. Now it's like, you know, I refuse to sit back and watch, and I will, if I have to get political, if I have to do whatever, I will, but I refuse to be a person to sit back and just watch. I refuse.
Yeah, exactly.
So, shout out to one of my best friends of all time, too, and he was one of my first friends, too, that I met in San Antonio when I started going to college, Brian Anderson, and if y'all do me the please the pleasure, instead of calling him Brian Anderson, if y'all can just call him Brian Macaroni, because
Brian Macaroni. Hey, where's Brian Macaroni? What's the matter for you, Brian?
Hi, Brian.
Did we go into overkill? I can keep talking. I have nothing but time. This is where it's at. In the words of Mr. McConaughey himself, this is where it's at right now, and this is one of the best places to be in the world. He's one of those guys that where I can't talk on the phone with Brian for 5 seconds. We start talking, and then we just start talking forever. And we just were like, well, hey, how's your wife, man? He's like, good. How's your relationship? Any girls? And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm kind of doing the thing. And he's like, how's music? Man, I'm so proud of you, buddy. He's like, you're really doing it. You know, you came to this country to say you were doing it, and you're really doing it.
He's been a
pillar in my life, and he's been one of those guys that by the grace, I just been the pleasure to know that I can call him. He's had my back, and he's been there for me in the toughest times, and I don't have enough of him in my life, I can tell you that, but he's a family man, and you know, he's, and that's one of the persons that I respect most because for him and every conversation I've had, his togetherness to his wife and his loyalty to his partner, his wife, is just goes 100%. And that's where his heart is. And man, for a man like that to exist in these days and age, ladies, like, really, that's crazy. And I learned a lot from him. I've learned so much from Brian, and I'm so happy for him. And again, he's kicking so much patootie all over Texas. I haven't caught up too much with him and seen where he's at, but I know that in the highs and the lows, he is inside him, and he knows how to get it done, and he will do it the best of his ability. And he's got this integrity that's just, I tell you, kick butt.
Wow, way to go.
Brian Macaroni, glad to know you, sir. Glad to know
good
you.
Good people. We and need good people.
Good. Our kind of people, Kenya. That's what he is. Hey, also want to say, coming up soon, next week, next Tuesday, I've got Joe Simons and the Loving Kind. They're a band, rock band, Kenya and my friends. They're from Liverpool, England, and they are also on the rise, just like Julian Acosta. They've been taken under the wing of Liam Gallagher of Oasis, and they've been touring a lot with him or with his High Flying Birds. So Joe Simons and Loving Kind will be here Tuesday. Wednesday is Alison Arngrim. You know her as Nellie Olson from Little House on the Prairie, her book Confessions of a Prairie Bitch. And she's an actress and a stand-up comic. Her mother, her parents were in the business. Her mother did voices for like Rocky and for Bullwinkle and Gumby and different cartoons.
Wow.
And Casper.
That's awesome.
And stuff like that. And I tell you too, she's got quite a story, because when she was young and working on the show Nellie Olson, that's when her older brother was sexually abusing her. And as she said, nobody could talk to, nobody seemed to want to accept it or believe it. So she said, when I got to work every day, all the stuff, throwing things around, was just the kind of a catharsis for me. You know, it kind of gave me a chance to try to work some anger out of my system. I didn't, make it go away. But
did not know.
Yeah,
House on the Prairie right now. I watch it sometimes because TV and the things on TV are so overwhelming for me sometimes. I just need to take it back to the simple days. And I'm one of those people who love no reality TV. I just like a regular story, let it go off, and I leave smiling.
Amen. Amen to that.
Amen. And who else is coming? I got to tell you who else is coming up, too, because I promise. Jay Smith, he's an author, and he's also a radio dramatist. He has been listening tonight. He says he would have called, but his audio keeps going in and out, and he doesn't want to get, like, on the subject and be off subject. And I said, it doesn't matter. It's all about love here. You know, it's all about the fellowship. And but Jay Smith will be here May 2nd. But as I said, we've got next week Alison Arngrim and Joe Simons of the Loving Kind. 19th, rocker Sasha Vallely. On April 18th, Johnny Effing Lucas. That's his pen name, Johnny Effing Lucas, and his book, Confrontational French. And then on the 25th, Kate Moore, British writer, and she has a book called Radium Girls. And it's a true story. I don't know if you ever heard this, Kenya. I only learned about it recently, or Julian. It's about back in the, I think around the 30s in America, people were using radium to make luminous dials on clocks and watches, and especially for military. And so a lot of young women had the job of painting the radium on, and they would tell them, use your tongue, dip it in there, use your tongue to make the brush point and paint.
Oh.
They all began having, it won't bother you, and they all began having terrible problems. Bones would start to deteriorate, and the BS and backstabbing they got from everybody. Oh, it's not really it's not the uranium, it's not this, it's not the radium. Those women went for years trying to get justice and trying to get, their medical bills paid. So Radium Girls, author Kate Moore will be here at the end of April. And tonight we've had Julian Acosta, last night Kenneth W. Kane. Life is good, Kenya. I'm the luckiest girl or what?
It is good. You're such a lucky girl.
Life is beautiful.
Awesome.
But I'll tell you what, and I will speak this on record, and it should be a sure pleasure for anybody to be able to talk to you, Madam Perry, because, like I told you on the phone, I don't think you get enough credit, and I wish you should be. You got something that is just invaluable. You can't duplicate you.
That's
can't.
Right, exactly.
And,
thank you.
And I hope to see, and I want the world needs to see that, and the world and you of all people like that, especially with the amount of people that you've had conversations with, and I mean you were the name dropping that you were giving me and you've talked to, and I mean sounds like you're a really connected person, and you've been able to gather so much thoughts, and I feel like so many people have been so honest with you, and I think you are America's rock star, and
I'm glad you can't see me right now. Well, Kit, thank. Oh my gosh, can I hire you for my PR? I want the show to go on Sirius XM, and so, yeah, just tell your friends to subscribe to it. Tell, hey, Brian Macaroni, Matt Middleton, all you guys, John Butler, you people start subscribing to Madam Perry Salon so I can get more cool people on like Julian and the Kenya and I are going to take
right.
it to Sirius XM.
That's right, taking it on, Julian. You have been such a sweetheart.
Julian.
I've enjoyed you.
And you
Thank
know what?
You
we're
so
going to
get.
I've only got. I've only got 48 seconds of cinnamon, and I love talking to you and Kenya. Oh, listen, Kenya and I have a. This is like a pajama party for us almost. But let me tell you.
Always.
You're a vocalist. You got to baby those pipes. You got to take care of those vocal cords. I've only got 48 seconds of cinnamon. By the way, cinnamon. You know how sometimes you and your friend go out and you have. I don't know if guys do this, and you have a different name that you use.
Hey!
Okay, never mind.
Never
mind. I'm not going to tell Kenya's
name. I feel
name.
Like
never
I should
mind.
Come up with a name. I feel like I should come up with an alias, and I think I'll come up with one day. But
Julian,
cinnamon
love, is mine.
Yeah, cinnamon is Kenya's name.
Mine.
Hi, I'm
no,
cinnamon. Nice to meet you.
For many years.
Oh, thank you so much, Lady. Thank you. Thank you.
We love this. Is not your last time, but we're going to have you back here again, and we wish you all the best with anything we can do for you. And Julian Acosta.